Today's First Saturday, so we honor Our Lady, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We're happy to honor her because she's our mother, she's our queen, she's beautiful, she's the mother of God. There's something fascinating and beautiful about someone who is without sin, who is immaculate, innocent, clean. We don't see that kind of innocence very often, maybe in a very young child. You see a young child and you can see this child is exactly who he or she presents himself to be, pure. Well, Mary was like that. She was absolutely pure. Even people who don't believe in our faith are attracted by the idea of a perfect woman. Perfect, especially spiritually perfect. Someone with a perfectly clean conscience. Well, that's who we honor today. In the readings today, this issue of the conscience of someone who stands in innocence and purity and stands for truth, that comes up in both of today's readings. In the first reading, we have Jeremiah the prophet. He's caught between the rival factions of the city of Jerusalem. On one side, there are the priests and the prophets. On the other side, there are the princes and the people, and they're arguing over whether Jeremiah should be put to death or not. So it's a story of a prophet who has fulfilled his mission, proclaiming the word of God, speaking for God, who now is in trouble for it. Then in the gospel, an even greater prophet, John the Baptist, the greatest of the prophets. He's in trouble also for fulfilling his mission and for speaking the word of God, speaking the truth. He has spoken truth to King Herod, Herod the Tetrarch, and Herod has put him in jail for it. And then you know the story of what happens. Herod finds not the truth that John speaks more important, but his own human respect, his own submission to the expectations of his wife, I guess you have to call her his wife, but even though not really his wife, it's his brother's wife, and the situation of the birthday party, and John ends up being beheaded. Okay, so here we have, I started out with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, pure conscience, and then in the readings we don't see Mary exactly, but we see two figures of men who have good conscience, who stand for what they believe, and they don't change simply because there's pressure on them. What these two men, Jeremiah and John the Baptist, show us is something that comes up very often in the conflict between religion and politics. I could put it that way. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but I mean, it's the place of someone who stands for the truth and doesn't change in order to gain advantage or in order to gain popularity. In the political world, people are always angling for power. That's politics. People angling for power, influence, and they have this terrible tendency to change their position if it will be to their advantage, if they'll be more popular, if they get more votes. Now, some positions are not absolute, and you can change them. Change the amount you're going to spend on a road, change the way you're going to deal with some social issue. Those things can be debated. But there are some things that are not simply based on human reason, but are revealed to be right or wrong. And politicians, they change on those positions too. I have in mind recently in the United States, which is undergoing an election process, and the question of abortion is always a hot topic in the United States. And up until fairly recently, a lot of politicians were publicly opposed to abortion. But now that they think they might get more votes, if they're not opposed to abortion, they change their minds. So simple. What kind of a position is that? You're just going to change your position based on getting more votes? What's the truth? The dignity of an unborn human person is not based on how many votes you get. Even if you get no votes, there's no justification for abortion. That's simply the truth, and that's what a prophet would say. But a politician would say, well, let's see how many weeks and how many months and who's in favor and maybe this state and that state. All kinds of political nonsense. But a prophet, a Jeremiah, or a John the Baptist would stand up and say, well, this is the truth. This is the will of God. It doesn't matter who likes it or who doesn't like it. This is the basis on which we can hold a position, a public position. Another case is the definition of marriage. Still debated in the Philippines, but in the United States, they gave up on marriage and said marriage can be between two men or two women. Well, that is not just a decision that could be made based on public opinion or on votes. There's a true definition of marriage, and then there's a distortion of marriage. And a prophet would say, this is what marriage is. That's what it is. Whether it's popular or not is not the issue. So this is why, at least in a democratic or countries that are based on democracy, there's a weakness. There's a weakness in thinking that everything is dependent on the most popular opinion or on the will of the people. What if the people are wrong? Well, then some prophet has to stand up and say, this is the truth. And those people, those prophets, take the risk of being put to death for that. Jeremiah, in today's first reading, he wasn't put to death, but he came close. And John the Baptist, he was killed for speaking the truth. What was the truth that John spoke? It's not right for you, Herod, to commit adultery with the wife of your brother. Adultery is wrong. That's the truth. Now, we don't have to walk up to every single person who's in adultery and proclaim to them that they're wrong. But in a public setting, and when someone is called on to speak the truth, that's the truth. And there's no justification for any adultery. You can't say that because he's the king, or because of this circumstance of his brother, or because of this political advantage, that this case of adultery is okay. No. There is no justification for adultery, no matter how politically advantageous or popular it might be. That's John the Baptist. Now, the story of John the Baptist turns very ugly when Herod decides to have him beheaded. But if we step back from the ugliness of what happened, the tragedy of what happened, if we step back and look at the big picture, we realize how beautiful John's witness is, how pure, how innocent, what a clean conscience he has. And when we compare John the Baptist to King Herod, we realize John is the great one, John is the powerful one, John is the attractive one. Herod, even though he's got political power, he loses all his moral authority and he makes himself an ugly, weak, despicable figure. In the case of Jeremiah, ironically, the religious leaders are the ones who are opposed to Jeremiah, the priests and the prophets. They're saying this Jeremiah, he's violating what is right for the city. He's speaking against the city. So therefore, he has to be put to death. What does Jeremiah do? He does not change his position at all. He says, it was the Lord who sent me to speak. This, what I have spoken is the truth, and I stand by the truth. No matter what you do to me, this is the truth. That's what a prophet does. That's what someone with a pure conscience does. If we're living according to a true conscience, we don't change our position based on what other people think or what risk it involves. Truth is truth, and a person with a pure conscience lives according to the truth. Well, that's what Jeremiah does, and the priests and the prophets are trying to get him killed. The princes and the people take his side, take Jeremiah's side, and say, no, this man is speaking for the Lord. So therefore, he cannot be put to death. And that was the conflict between them. But on this first Saturday, in which we honor a woman with a pure conscience, an immaculate heart, I think it's good to read these passages in light of the call to be a prophet, the call to live according to a true conscience, to hold on to the truth, no matter what the cost, no matter what anyone might think about it, no matter what disadvantage it might bring, no matter how politically incorrect it might be. That's what we need. That's what we need. So with the help, and we're weak, so we can't do that by ourselves, but with the help of Mary, our Immaculate Mother, with the guidance of Mary, who is always making available to us the grace of God, God is the one who makes it possible for us to be true. With that help, we can stand for the truth, we can proclaim the truth with love, we can remain faithful to God, to who has created us and who has called us, and we ourselves can be beautiful. We can be spiritually powerful. We can be attractive to those who are attracted to the truth, and we can be victorious. John the Baptist, even though he gets beheaded, he reigns in glory. And that's the great fruit of anyone who is faithful to the truth, is faithful to the calling as a prophet, to reign victorious, to share in the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death.